tonight, and I would ask you to stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Is our high school representative here?
Yep.
Good evening, everyone. Currently, our finalists for DECA are in Atlanta, Georgia. They left this past Saturday for Nationals and will return on Wednesday. All of our students are doing a great job with their presentations. This past week, we had our high school musical, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. They performed Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and all did an exceptional job. Coming up on May 1st is Senior Decision Day. This is a day to celebrate all seniors and their post-high school plans. We are creating a senior decision tree in the front window and will continue to fill up as seniors submit their college and post-high school plans. Additionally, this Thursday, April 26th, we have our high school orchestra concert. Stay tuned for a busy May as we have our Business Honor Society induction, Science Honor Society induction, Spring Night of Acapella, and my personal favorite, Junior Gala. Thank you.
Thank you. Board announcements. Lauren?
So a big thank you to Lori Lynn and her staff for another great parent academy. This one was on positive communication with your children. I learned a lot. It was wonderful. Unfortunately, I can only go to two courses, but they were terrific. One was turn off the parent alarm. So that class was more about not jumping automatically to fix a problem of your children, but kind of being a good listener, respecting your children's boundaries, putting yourself in their shoes, being empathetic, and just being there for your kids, being a good listener, not automatically saying, I'm going to fix this for you. It was interesting because there was a good dynamic in the class. We were paired up and we did a lot of role-playing, and it was interesting from a high school parent's perspective and what's important to them at that age with social media and maybe being left out of a social gathering that they see on social media versus an elementary school child. Maybe he didn't make a sport team. Well, that can go up, like, you know, obviously through the years, but what's important to them at that moment and where a parent will run out and just want to just fix the situation and make sure that, you know, the saying is you're always as happy as your least happiest child.
Well, that is true.
Which is still true. But to listen and just to be there and how to respond. And it's not as easy as it looks.
Because we're fixers. We want to fix our kids' problems.
That's what we want to do. But basically that we shouldn't do that. And they should, you know, we should be there and listen to them. And if they don't want to talk about it, that's okay. Just to let them know that we're here. And so it was a really interesting course. The second one that I went to, and I know Dr. Lewis went to also, was from the keynote speaker, whose name was Diane Sweet. She's a psychotherapist and consultant. She was wonderful. And about warning signs of mental illness and what to look for if someone's feeling withdrawn or sad for more than 2 weeks at a time. Having difficulty with self-regulating or moods, and that kids need to cope. A lot of our kids are having issues with coping. Parents, what she called now is a new word called snowplowing, that making ways for their kids so that they don't have to do things for themselves. Parents are automatically running out there as the fixers, and it's harming our children today. So they aren't learning tolerance. They're not becoming resilient young people. And kids need to learn how to fail. And kids need to learn how to experience sadness. And that's normal. And that's life. And that's okay. So those were some heavy things that I think we all need to
but it's hard for
remember.
Parents.
The Gift of Failure. She did recommend that book, but right. A lot of us have already read it. we have to set boundaries and we have to have family rules in our home. And she said teens are going to learn and want to break and push the envelope, and that's their job. But our job as parents is to make sure that there's an envelope to push. And if we don't, then we're doing a disservice to our children. The biggest thing right now, because we do have the iGeneration family, is to limit screen time in the home. So a couple of recommendations she made is when, you know, any kind of dinner time, out in restaurants, when you're having food in your house, maybe, and it goes for all stakeholders in the house, parents included, maybe don't allow any phones, technology in the kitchen. And that's your time to have conversation, good conversation. But it was really, I learned a lot. It was a really wonderful parent night, so thank you to everybody. I know Jill said we're not allowed to thank you, but thank you. It was a wonderful, wonderful evening. I'm sad it was the last one of this year, but I look forward to more.
Yeah, so thank you, Lauren. That was a comprehensive summary, and I think we received a lot of positive feedback, and there were a lot of teachers that and psychologists and social workers that presented that evening as well, so I want to give a shout-out to them. But we do plan on bringing Diane Sweet back to the district to work with staff, and I think she really can deliver the message about some very serious topics in a way that we can all relate to. So our goal is to expand that whole topic of mental illness and dealing with stressful situations and a multitude of issues that both our students and perhaps our staff are dealing with as part of our unconference day next year. So how we have run an unconference day on technology or educational topics, we're going to do it around similar topics such as mental illness and to help supporting students. So I think it's going to be really successful.
I would like to go to that.
Sign us up.
Thank you. Are there board announcements? Well, I was going to talk about the Hunchback of Notre Dame. You know, every year when I'm beginning to go to the show, I say to myself, you know, Mr. Olivari might not have exceeded last year because last year was so amazing. And then every year he does. The kids were unbelievable. The talent that we have, they're just the costumes, the sets, just everything about it. What was very exciting to me, and I know for the rest of the board, because we've been talking about it for a while, is that the music was all our own students and staff members, as opposed to hiring musicians. And we were very, very impressed with that. So my hat's off to everybody involved. Mr. Olivari is a genius. And I believe we're going to see some of the show at our next meeting. So if you weren't able to be there, I would like to invite you to our next board meeting to hear and see the kids. So congratulations to all involved. Sure.
I just want to thank the middle school and elementary school music teachers for inviting their students to come up. They saved front row seats for the students to actually see themselves playing in the pit. So it really was a wonderful experience for the younger students to see where they could wind up being someday. So
that's great.
It was great.
Okay, superintendent announcements.
I'm just going to add to that. When Mr. Rogers was hired as a director of music, one of the things we said to him is, could we see a pit? Could we have our own kids, as many fine districts have our own kids playing in the orchestra for the pit? And he's delivered that. The last time that happened here was 25 years ago.
Wow. And I want to say, Mr. Rogers was two rows behind me, and he was quelling through the entire performance. And I happened to walk out with him, and he's so proud of them. And
absolutely.
He was
there's, you know, students prepare for a concert, but playing in a pit, my own child did, in Freeport, you know, they had a pit. It's a whole different experience. very, very different experience. And what is amazing about this particular pit, which I haven't seen so much of, is that the brass and woodwinds were playing multiple instruments.
I noticed that too.
There were a couple of kids, right? They were all in the row, and they
right.
had like two or three instruments on their lap,
correct.
And they were switching
Absolutely.
Throughout the course of the show. And
that's a whole.
These kids not only play
right.
one, but
multiple instruments
so well.
That's a very deep orchestra. That's
Ginger will do it next year.
And so, you know, we don't need to go out. I mean, it takes a lot of rehearsal, but you have some very committed staff members who are intending to grow the children as musicians, and that's what you're seeing. But they themselves were playing. I mean, Carter played four.
Ryan Carter, Aaron Langenhauer, Rob Lombardo.
Multiple
and Glenn Chirola from the elementary school.
Oh,
so, I mean, all their students that... You know, that, like
and
you said, Lauren, seeing the little guys
for
there.
Our student musicians to be playing with
yeah.
their
They're
teachers.
With, right. And some of the pieces had to be rewritten because of the complexities. And these music teachers rewrote those pieces so that children could be part of that. So kudos to them and kudos to the staff. And, of course, I don't want to take away from kids who are on the stage who are bound for greatness. I mean, what you heard, the singing and the dancing and the makeup and the costumes, it's just a whole different level. Right. And some of them are still juniors, so we'll have them next year. I kept saying, well, is this one of juniors? Because we're losing Kevin
yeah.
and Matt and Diane's daughter.
Danielle.
I mean, there are some key kids
right.
who have been there as the major role. And the other thing that that Rich said is that these kids were nice kids, that they cleaned up. They did everything that needed to be done. They rolled up their sleeves and not a single problem backstage. They monitored, and I've been in the cast, so I know.
It's not always like that.
No, they are leads, and they take care of everything, and you report to the leads, and they really it's so. There's so many other skills that are being taught in the thespian society.
Absolutely.
That I just would want to say, anybody who's listening, get your kids involved in it. It is a discipline that is really,
you know,
really
it's
good.
Their place, you know, with
absolutely.
With their group of kids, and it's a great experience.
So in addition, we inducted some students into the Art Honor Society. We had our Boston trip. God bless the BOB middle school staff, really, because something always happens. They had a bus that was broken down at the rest stop, and they recovered. Then it rained. And so next year, I promise you, POB Middle School is going when we're switching. So Matlin will go during the first trip, and no, they will.
So clearly the weather will change.
Yeah,
it's pattern.
A warm spring.
So we already have made arrangements for Matlin to go first this time, next year, and then POB Middle School to go second, because they've had the weather. The other piece, I just want to warn everyone, we are about to, we're working on the Stratford Road Theater Auditorium, which will hopefully be ready for September 1, but we are going to strike that auditorium as soon as school is over at POB Middle School, and that's a very long process. So I've already given warnings to folks. We will have an auditorium, but it may not be POB Middle School next year. It may have to be that we use the Stratford Road auditorium for many things, because we just have to be flexible as
right.
we have that one major auditorium in our district.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that they should be ready with the Stratford Road September 1. So concerts and all of those things, we just have to be flexible on that.
So maybe as they're progressing at POB Middle School, we can have periodic updates, so we'll have some idea of
right.
timeline.
Right. But definitely, we have to plan for winter concerts and those
right.
kinds of things. Could be.
Okay. Is that it?
The music recognition in the country.
Oh, do you want to say?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. So I think, you know what, I thought everybody knew, but we were, 2 weeks ago, we were recognized as Best in Communities for Music by the NAM Foundation. That's sort of higher than the Grammys, and that only comes from an outstanding music program that's supported by a community. It really looks to how the community supports the program and where kids are going in terms of their exiting. One of the best in the country. So we're very proud. That area is
so kudos to
really
our music.
Kudos
program.
To our music. Our music staff and students are just outstanding. Many other areas too, but this week it's music.
Okay. Next we're going to go on to policy review update. Mr. Greenberg couldn't be here tonight, but he was going to speak on behalf of the policy committee. Susan's also on the policy committee. She couldn't be here. And I'm also on the policy committee, so I'm going to read Seth's statement, and then we will have a discussion. As we have mentioned in prior meetings, over the course of approximately the last 2 years, the Board Policy Committee has taken on the enormous task of engaging in a complete review of our existing policies. We've been working closely with our Assistant Superintendent for Human Resources, Dr. Mulieri. We are utilizing the services of a policy consultant with the New York State School Boards Association. And, of course, we are consulting with our labor and general counsel to ensure that our policies are up to date, consistent, conform with federal, state, and local laws, rules, and other relevant regulations, are in compliance with contractual obligations, and most of all, are in the best interest of the district, its staff, its students, and all of our community stakeholders. Part of the review and refresh process, which we expect will still go on for at least 2 years, will result in renumbering of our policies to conform with a more user-friendly codification system. Ultimately, when the board approves the new policy manual or policy compendium, we expect it will be converted into searchable electronic form and will be accessible online the same as our current policies. Excuse me. I know. From time to time, there are topics which require the policy committee to discuss and or revisit policies or issues separate from our normal review. Perhaps it is a new topic about which we believe the district should have a policy, for example, about drones or Narcan. Other times we may have a policy or bits and pieces of what would be a policy about a topic or issue, and events and circumstances call our attention to that topic or issues in such a way as to make us focus on the development of a new policy or rewrite one of our old ones. We have done this on many topics in the past, too numerous to name now. Conversations and issues brought up relating to grading have generated a desire by the board to establish a district grading policy. What is being presented this evening is a working draft policy. We want to make it clear to all of our stakeholders who have or will be weighing in on this policy that this policy is not final. There may be aspects of this draft policy about which even we on the policy committee do not agree. Our hope and expectation by presenting this draft for discussion purposes now is to obtain more feedback from our fellow board members and from our stakeholder groups. Please, please, please do not come away from this meeting that the board has already decided what is the final grading policy. That simply is untrue. There are often varying opinions about topics such as district grading policy. Some may see imperfect aspects of the current practice and procedures and want to use this as an opportunity to make it better. Others may not even agree as to what the current practice and procedures are. And still others may say that there is ambiguity or differences as to how current practice and procedures are implemented by building, by grade, and or by subject matter. The initial goal of the policy committee in trying to memorialize a grading policy was to set out what is. It became clear over the course of our many discussions that what is and what ought to be may not always align. We hope that when this process is complete, our final grading policy will guide but not micromanage. It is not our intent to, nor do we think we could, address or foresee every circumstance. We seek to write for the rule, not for the exception. Of course, there may be exceptions we believe strongly exist to codify in the policy, but generally, we do not believe policies should micromanage teachers and administrators in grading. After presenting and discussing today, we encourage and ask for continued feedback from all of our stakeholder groups. The policy committee will then take all that feedback into consideration and continue our work on this grading policy. We will then reintroduce the policy at another future board meeting and circulate before adopting a final grading policy, which we hope and expect will be effective for the 2018-2019 school year. Also on this agenda is the non-discrimination policy / equal opportunity policy, and we are not ready to circulate or even discuss at this point. So we want everybody to know that we are working on that policy in the policy committee, and as soon as we have something to bring forward, we will. So with that said, we'd like to open up discussion for the entire board. So are there comments on the existing draft? Jody?
I just wanted to get some clarification on item B. It groups students in grades 5 through 12 all together with the 21% for each quarter, 5% for the midterm, 11% for the final. Fifth and sixth graders don't take midterms and finals, so I'm wondering if we could just break that out separately and put that it's each quarter is 25%. Also, currently, 7th and 8th graders don't follow that 21-5-11 formula either. It's 25 with the midterms and the finals grouped into Q2 mm-hmm. and Q4. I don't know if the purpose was to streamline it, but either if not, then we should clarify.
Okay. Thank you.
Want me to respond?
Sure.
Yes. The written language is a very high school language, and so the other stakeholders have already identified that. I also think, and I spoke with Zintz about this, that we may want to be more general in the policy and move these into regulations so mm-hmm. that, because if we decide to go to a letter grade or something, you should have a more general statement in your policy. It's something the board can, of course, if they want to have it in policy, but something of this nature, I think you might want to move that off to the regulation section. But you're absolutely right. There ought to be a 5-6. We should address mm-hmm. 5-6. We should address K-4, 5-6, 7-8, and high school courses, because there are some 8th grade courses that are high school courses, and they do apply.
That's, yes.
Right.
Algebra and Earth Science are graded like the high school classes.
Right.
So
that would be something.
Right, they're considered high school classes.
Exactly,
but
yes.
Grades 5 and 6 don't take midterms, so I want to be clear. That.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Jody, like you said, 7 and 8, it's factored in.
Yep.
And it's weighted within the quarter itself.
Ginger?
I just want to address quarterly grades. With the students shall receive a grade, the lowest quarterly grade allowed for grades 5 through 12 shall be a grade of 50. Is that done arbitrarily, or does an administrator or a chair have to approve the grade of 50?
mean, that's part of
currently,
our current policy.
Currently, right. that's the lowest grade a teacher can give.
Right. But my question is...
Did you think when somebody is giving a grade of a 50, that there's a conversation with their supervisor and then ultimately the building principal? I mean, it's not typical. So it would be a unique circumstance.
Okay, got it. I have trouble with fifth and sixth graders with the grade of 50. I just feel that when you fail, you fail. If you fail with a 60, 50 is very punitive. And that 50 came from me many, many years ago when our kids could get a 12 on the report card. And in order to get this 50, it was a year of negotiations with the union. And I just feel when a child fails, if they fail at 60, they failed. And putting that 10 points in to get that 10 points to bring the grade up is a difficult thing to do. And for fifth and sixth graders who still, to me, are elementary children, I just...
Yes, they don't do. Okay.
Yes, they get numerical.
Yeah,
I
numerical
just have a real big problem with that. I just think that there's a point in which you fail, and you failed. But then to go in and put it down 10 more points, I just think...
Okay, so what are you suggesting? Because when
I would like to see fifth and sixth grade
committee
taken out of that. I think that that should be, if you're doing it 7 through 12, I just really have trouble with the 50. But
even though it was your 50 to begin with.
Well, that's the only way I could get away
so
with that.
So do you want to establish a 60 for 5 and 6? Or?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
I would like to see it at 60. I think that for kids.
For grades 5 through 6?
Middle school's hard enough. They're little kids. So I would like to see that 60.
Okay.
Lauren?
Yeah, I just had a question about the freshman forgiveness. I don't know if we have to reword, but at what point would the student say they want the freshman forgiveness? Because if in the end it helps the student, so let's say the student has an 85 and then gets a 95, but then doesn't do so well in the third and fourth.
Right, that was quarter. The point that the PTA brought.
So at what point does the student get to say, I want freshman forgiveness? Is it at the end of the year? Is it like after the second quarter?
As the board has written it, it would be just first and second quarter. So if you wanted to address that issue, you would, there one of two ways you could do that. One way would be to, and this was an idea that came up, I think Jill brought it up and some another group brought it up, and I can't remember who it was, but I think the administrators would be to count the first quarter. If the second quarter is greater than the first quarter, you count it as the first quarter. So then that grade becomes the first quarter.
Right.
So that could be one way to do it, or the other way to do it is to only count it the first quarter if it helps. That's another way.
Well, that but I think it says in here.
It doesn't say it. It says if the second quarter is higher, right. But if the third and fourth are lower, it doesn't do anything.
Okay, so what is it you're suggesting?
The suggestion I would make is if you want to do freshman forgiveness, then you would count, if the second quarter is higher than the first, you count that grade as your first quarter grade as well.
I think the
so
way
you still have grade, four quarters as opposed
correct,
to us
correct,
feeling that we were
negate,
giving somebody.
Right, correct. Okay. So you negate. So you still have the four quarters, but the second quarter grade. So nobody
so you
would
have
be
a
hurt.
Double grade.
You double
grade. The same grade for your first and your
second.
If you were dropping
right,
your
if,
first.
If the second okay, is higher, that motivates students to keep working. It you know so it's it it.
Well, the growth
the
mindset.
First, right.
Like you're
right,
working towards
right,
something.
Mm-hmm. Right. So and so you still have the four quarters,
mm-hmm,
and so that could be a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I know that you have some input from the teachers
right,
and from the administrators.
How?
But it is something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a maximum number of courses that you can do forgiveness with?
Mm.
I mean, there is.
This was not.
We
limited.
It's not reflecting anything. That's right.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just curious
about
that.
It says as many, you could do it for all your courses. That's the way it's written right now.
Right. And I also agree with Ginger with regard to the 50 and 60, because I think that children are automatically emotionally involved naturally when they get a failing grade. And it's almost like, well, throwing their hands up with a 50. There's just no way that they could see themselves clearly to get past where they are to get enough to pass, enough
so grades. I'm a little confused, though. Are you only talking about fifth and sixth graders, or are you talking
in general? You're talking about it.
I'm talking about in general, and also with the limit or no limit on the forgiveness. Just that was my question. There isn't any limit
right now. The way it's
two
worded,
separate things I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's another issue you've just brought up.
Right, exactly.
There is no limit on it, but the other issue is a real issue, the way it's worded, that the several groups have brought, that, you know, if you're only looking at first and second quarter, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and then you're dropping it, it's right, really, it sets the whole unfair advantage to kids. I would rather that you double count the first quarter,
yes,
or the second, mm-hmm, quarter. That's one, if you're going to do that at all,
mm-hmm,
if
right,
you double,
mm-hmm,
count it.
Thank
it
you.
Gives them a motivation to work harder.
Okay. I also had a question, and this is based on ASDA's suggestions to us. When we discussed freshman forgiveness,
yes,
I was not basing it on any statistics or data. I really was just believing anecdotally that kids like in college usually do worse the first semester. They're transitioning, they're getting used to it. Can we get data from one ninth grade class, you know, whatever is accessible, so that we could see by quarter how students did. So we would have an idea, did most students really not do well the first quarter, but then gradually brought their grades up? So is that possible to get?
First and second quarter?
Well, if now we're talking about third and fourth quarter too.
Well, no, we didn't. They're doing third right now.
Well, it doesn't have to be this
year's.
We can get that. Could be last year's ninth grade. It doesn't really matter which. Here it is. Okay, great. Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
I do think when you're saying, you're spelling this out, like K through 4, 5, 6, when you're talking about the midterms, it's for 7th and 8th graders, that's not separated out like the 5%, et cetera. So I think you have to take that into consideration, that currently that's factored into their second quarter order and fourth quarter average.
Midterms count.
For 7th and 8th graders.
Right. No, which is why I'm suggesting that all of this become regulations, because that could change easily.
Mm-hmm.
But we vary across the board.
Okay.
So we'll get you the data.
Okay, great.
Is there a grade where children cannot go on to summer school? It used to be if a kid got below 55, they couldn't go to summer school. What do we do now?
Can't go to summer school.
That seems ridiculous.
And that was one of this was, and I just want to make sure.
I don't believe that.
What was the rationale?
Oh, Ginger, are you saying like that there's no chance for remedy and that they have to take the course again?
But this was the entire
during the school year.
Look, if a kid gets 250s and then they get 280s, they get a 65 average.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't believe that's the practice any longer, but I'll check.
Okay, but I'm talking two things at once. Okay, so we can check on the summer school.
Mm-hmm.
Why a grade of 50?
Because you put it in!
No. The 50 was to take away the 12 from the report cards, because I felt that was being punitive. If you look, I didn't vote for the 50. I voted that it's a 60. If you're failing at a 60, to me there's a grade that's a failure. And then why would you penalize a child and go that much further? It's better to drop a course in high school if the first quarter you get a grade of 50 and the second quarter you get a 60. Where are you going to go?
Okay, well, I can only talk from the grading, the grading policy committee.
only took that from the current policy.
Yeah, our
we
current
never
policy
discussed changing that.
But maybe
so
we
you
should.
Are making that suggestion.
Right, you're making that
and
suggestion.
And we will take that back.
Yes, right. Because my thing is, when we talk about building up kids, we talk mm-hmm. about this freshman forgiveness mm-hmm. now. So we're forgiving kids for whatever. It just seems to me when kids go to college and everything else, maybe something happens, they have a bad 2 marking periods. They can't get that grade up. You have to almost get 90s to be able to get a 75. And that doesn't look so great on certain transcripts. So I'm just saying, I don't like punitive things. And to me, when we did this, it was punitive. And there were many arguments over this grade of 50. And that's why I asked about summer school, because it used to be that if you got that 50,
and the oldest.
You could not go to summer school. So to me, why take the course? If you're failing, withdraw. You're better to withdraw. So I would just like to see other people's feedback on that being a mm-hmm. grade of 60.
Okay. Are there any other comments or questions? Okay. Following this meeting, the policy committee.
Are you done? No. There are other things.
There were other things.
Yeah. The other thing.
Well, I mean, we're not talking yeah. about everything yeah. that every group has suggested.
No, but
we will look at it.
Right.
But unless you're planning on sharing what every
I would
group
like to share
has suggested.
No. Well, yeah. No. But there are some logics that. I'd like to highlight.
Okay.
Number 5. In the event a student, the policy committee has asked for the possibility of recalculating the averages when a student retakes the Regents exam.
In August.
No, that's not how it's stated. So a senior could retake the algebra exam the way it's restated. A senior taking calculus
right.
could go take an algebra exam and get a better grade, and we'd have to recalculate that grade back in the 8th grade. That's the way it's worded.
Okay,
worded.
Well, that, I don't
so
get
it. I think,
so I don't think that was
I know that's not your
intent.
Right.
But
that's how it's
But that's how it's written.
Okay.
I don't think it was the intent, but
okay.
We didn't really have a discussion
you
with
have to
regard
limit
to
it.
A time frame on,
right.
on when,
that's
okay. what time frame they're going to look to do that, if
right.
you're going to say just
Correct.
The August exam or within a year's
time. I thought
time,
we talked about only August, but okay.
Right, so yes, so that's what I'm just saying.
Okay.
You need to put a limit on that so that they can do it within that year that they can
right,
retake it.
Right.
That's all.
Could you imagine if they...
Okay.
That's all. I just wanted
that.
Were
back
that.
And did worse.
Well, that's
no.
true.
No.
All right. Okay, so now it's going to go back to the policy committee. We're going to take everybody's input into account and no, you can still come up during public participation.
No.
I'm just talking about what we have received already.
Right. Just
and what we are, what the next steps are. And then at a future meeting, either the next meeting or the meeting after, we will have a new draft to then be circulated. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to go on to the bond update.
How quickly are you moving this meeting?
Quick transition.
Did that go on?
Yeah, there it goes.
Okay, so, well, this is warming up. I do want to revisit the schedule for the Matlin Middle School auditorium, which Dr. Lewis and I walked through late last week, I think Stratford Road Auditorium.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Is
what
the wrong
are you
school?
Talking about?
All right.
Yes.
Stratford Road Auditorium, which we walked through last week. The same contractor that's doing the Stratford Road Auditorium is doing the POB Middle School Auditorium. Crossroads Construction, they're very good. It's a father-son company. Last year, they did 4 auditoriums in about a 4-month period in Islip. Did them all at the same time. So this is something they do. So we're very confident that they will have Stratford done and will be open there on September 1st. and they will start at POB Middle School as soon as teachers leave at the end of June, and that will be open for January 1st. A caveat with Stratford Road, as you know, Proposition 2 asked voters to opine on funding air conditioning in Stratford Road Auditorium. That air conditioning will not be there for the fall. Air conditioning projects like this take a long time. We're hoping the air conditioning is there for September 2019, okay, because it has to be designed, has to go up to SED, has to be approved, then we have to put it out to bid, then the equipment has to actually be made, installed, and powered. So as you know from our other air conditioning projects, they take a long time. So at the POB Middle School Auditorium, there are two separate projects, the auditorium renovation and the air conditioning of the auditorium. They're going on simultaneously at the same time. All right, so it's our expectation that the air conditioning work is happening while that auditorium is being refurbished. So when we get to the springtime of 2019, right, we go in January 1st, we start using the auditorium, but when we get to the warm weather days and moving up in September 2019, that auditorium will be completed and air conditioned, fully functional. All right? And I will give you updates as we go along. This presentation is an overview of the work we're going to be doing through really now through the summer. So through September 2018, the district will complete roughly $17 million in construction work. All right, there's a lot going on. Work will be taking place in all seven schools. As you know, the high school summer school, the BOCE summer school, won't be hosted by Plainview Old Bethpage this summer. It will be hosted at Bethpage High School. The high school itself, POB High School, JFK High School, will not be used at all this summer because we have so much work going on there. And I'll get to that in one of the slides in the presentation. Our summer special education program is going to be housed right here at Matlin, right here at B House. And Camp Apollo will be housed in Stratford Road, and they'll be shuttling campers to the POB Middle School pool. So a summary of the high school work. Doors and hardware. The doors are ordered, and with our anticipated change in our door hardware to a security badge-driven system, Mr. Donnarumma and Mr. Ward visited several school districts last week. We met with different manufacturers, and we're going to have to make a choice on the door hardware. So I'm sure we'll be coming within 2 or 3 weeks with a recommendation on what type of door hardware we should be using, a different door hardware system. We won't start installing the doors to POB JFK High School until we know what hardware we're putting on them. All right, so that project will have a later start time. As you know from other school buildings, we've been replacing doors through the school year, and it's pretty much a seamless process. For the doors that we already replaced, once we identify what the new hardware is going to be, we will go back and do those as well. HVAC upgrades. Air conditioning is going to be provided to the cafeteria and the library computer lab. The board has already awarded that work, and that equipment is ordered. The real big project going on there is the ceiling and lighting replacement. We're replacing all of the ceiling and lighting in the hallways except for the new addition, and also 25 classrooms. So there's going to be a lot of work going on there between the HVAC, the ceiling and lighting, which is really really extensive work, along with the security improvements. We'll pretty much be through those things, especially the camera installations, before the ceiling and lighting gets done. We're also going to, and the board awarded this work, repair the main drain from the high school. As those who are on the bomb committee recall, there's a problem with the drain line from the pool, so that is going to be scoped out and repaired this summer. POB Middle School. We're going to be doing our ADA accessibility upgrades, and really specifically, those are renovations of the restrooms on the second floor and the third floor near the cafeteria staircase. Those restrooms are being renovated for ADA accessibility. HVAC upgrades, I already mentioned. We will be air conditioning the auditorium. We're also installing air conditioning in that cafeteria. And a dehumidification system is being installed in the pool. We're renovating 4 science rooms. There is a 5th room that's currently used as kind of a faculty room type of thing that's going to be enlarged because we need more space for students. The auditorium upgrades, I already mentioned. Doors and hardware, similar theme. We did not yet order those doors, but we have identified the numbers and the makes. Once we know what hardware we're going to put on, we will order those doors. And the security improvements will continue district-wide. Matlin, doors and hardware, same status as POB Middle School. We're about to order, but we won't place the order until we know what hardware we're putting on them. We're reconstructing 4 science rooms. These rooms are rather large, so there is space being carved out of these rooms for prep rooms. Right now, no prep rooms exist with these science rooms. We're also renovating 2 art rooms. The LGI upgrade has actually already started. It's hard to notice the work that has gone in there, but once we move past the school year, then the stage curtains, the rigging, lighting, and sound system will all be replaced. And once again, the security improvements will continue. Judy Jacobs Parkway, ADA accessibility upgrades. We are refurbishing restrooms there. As you walk into that building, if you think of that building as kind of a backwards capital E, right? The middle wing that kind of goes out from the cafeteria doors, we'll be renovating 2 sets of restrooms there for the ADA access. We're also making a women's room across from the main office ADA compliant as well. Ceiling and lighting replacements. This is also a very large job. We're replacing all the hallway ceiling and lighting, the ceiling and lighting in the kitchen and cafeteria, and also 20 classrooms. All right, so that is a huge job. All-purpose room upgrades, replacing the stage curtains, lighting, and sound systems, and also the security improvements there. Old Bethpage, air conditioning the gym. Ceiling and lighting replacements, this is in hallways only, but we're doing all, you know, if you think of Old Beth as basically a rectangle with the entryways, we're doing all of that, and also in the cafeteria as well. All-purpose room, similar to Judy Jacobs, and the security improvements. Pasadena, ADA accessibility. We're replacing the tile floor in 6 restrooms in this building, and we're modifying 1 restroom in that middle, if you think of that middle hallway, once again going out from the cafeteria, renovating 1 set of restrooms there. Ceiling and lighting is much more localized. It's only in a portion of the cafeteria, so we're doing part of that. All-purpose room upgrades, replacing the stage curtains, lighting, and sound system, and the security improvements. Stratford Road, auditorium upgrades will be finished by the end of the summer, and the security improvements. So the work is really localized in Stratford Road, which gives us the ability to host Camp Apollo there.
In the high school?
Other work going on. Not 2014 bond related, but our Smart Schools bond work is getting underway. As you know, our project, which focused on school connectivity, was approved. That work was bid out. Work is beginning in about 2 weeks. The vendor has already, which is basically mostly done by an electrician, has ordered the material, and we expect him to be on site in about 2 weeks. And he's going to start moving through the buildings in the order and identified there, starting at the high school. And we'll be done with the high school with the wiring portion before the end of the year. He'll then move into Stratford Road, Old Bethpage, Pasadena, and then Judy Jacobs.
Stratford Road.
Judy Jacobs, he has to coordinate with the ceiling and lighting installer. So we still have to figure out how that project phases in, but that should be done before the end of the summer as well. So by the beginning of next year, we expect each building will have full coverage of wireless access. All right, so I know that was a lot of information. Do you have any questions?
Jody?
This the security upgrades in the various buildings that are being done as part of the bond work, the stuff that you're still investigating, will that be part of the May 7th presentation, like door hardware and things like that?
I expect that we'll be able to give some.
Okay.
I think we've really narrowed down the door hardware between two different manufacturers,
okay.
But we've also asked those manufacturers to put, we want to try them. So they're going to install them on our doors so we can actually, you know, try them and see how they work.
Okay.
But we'll have some preliminary information on that.
But thank you.
The wiring and the difficult spaces to get the AC, and I know in some of the high school in Matlin, we were having some issues with the wiring to get AC in the classroom
mm-hmm.
spaces. How are we working on that?
Okay. So, and I do owe you another air conditioning update. All right. We have a color-coded chart. And we actually changed those slides as we go along. As like we award air conditioning bids, it goes from pink to yellow, meaning it's getting there. So when you see this presentation, you'll see that we have been able to get more classrooms done. We are working with BBS because there's some things that we're just not able to do on our own, where we have to do some really more extensive work on the wiring infrastructure of the building. Most of that work will occur at the high school. So that is, when we look at our electrical work, we did get some work done this year, which enabled us to get air conditioning to places where we hadn't been before. So, for example, this summer's air conditioning project at the high school, we're able to get air conditioning into that library computer lab. We did that by making changes in the infrastructure. We need one more big push to do that in some of our buildings.
Okay, so by the end of this year, you'll give us that air conditioning report?
Sure. Okay.
Any other questions?
No, okay. Good job.
Thanks.
You very much. Okay, now we're going to go on to public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process, or those of others could in some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We thank you in advance for being respectful of all speakers and staff members. The floor is now open.
Just stand in line. There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Paula Barsky, 30 Cornell Drive, Plainview, New York. I just wanted to thank you guys for incorporating some of the things we suggested in the grading policy. One of the items that I noticed wasn't in there was midterms. Is there any guidance to that? I know in the past there have been an analysis done sometimes where the grade would be changed if there was a big difference or discrepancy between past exams given. Will there be some sort of guideline for that in the policy?
Well, I can't talk for the policy committee.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just. It's a concern. Right. Yes.
Some do. Respond, Joy. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and then, if whatever other points. Should I just email it to the board as I go
Definitely.
Through? Okay, great. Thank you.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Jessica Corbett, 222 Floral Avenue, Plainview, New York. I have a statement. I'm just going to read it so I get everything out clearly and concisely. This year, when the SEPTA Exec Board met with the Board of Ed, I respectfully requested, as you revisited the grading policy, that students using the superintendent's determination to graduate from high school should not have region scores counted in their GPAs. Only students with disabilities can use this option. Counting region's exam grades as 11% of a final grade could prove to be a real detriment to students, possibly and probably causing them to leave high school without a diploma. While this is a very small cohort of kids, I believe it is important to acknowledge that NYSED recognized the error of their ways by offering the superintendent's determination. Our school board should not be an obstacle in the path of a diploma for our most vulnerable kids. Thank you.
So, this is an example of something that would be in the regulations, Jessica, not
policy.
And I've already spoken to, I fully support that. Because for it's a very, very small population of students, and the reason that they're getting the superintendent's determination is that their score would be lower than if you placed it back into the average, then you probably would end up with a failing course average. So so it's a double indemnity if you're going to offer that as a way out. Then I would support. Would implore the board to consider that. And I think that they did hear you, so the policy committee needs to hear you too.
Betty Cassell, 9 Cedar Drive East.
Is the mic on?
I'm probably not speaking
yes,
into
good.
It. Is that better?
Okay. That's better.
The JFK High School pool has one dive block that is not working and hasn't worked since my son has been at the high school. I wanted to know, with all the building repair that we're doing, could we fit that in? Because, for us as a swim family, it matters. So I would appreciate that. And you had talked about all the different things going on at the high school as far as reparations and stuff like that from a 9th grade orientation. Is that still all set? Because I know the kids get to go with their mentors and walk around, so I just want to make sure that that's not going to be missed. Thank you.
Can I just comment on 9th grade orientation? We pretty much know when that's occurring, so that's, we know we have to get the building buttoned up. It's going to be close, right? But we know we have to do that. Our students need the orientation to get to walk through the buildings.
Oh yeah.
And also our teachers are returning as well. Right?
Yeah, our teachers are back on August
30th. Summer sports start, so students are going to be moving into the building roughly 2 weeks before the opening of school. That's the way high schools work.
Oh yeah.
The swim.
Not without.
It's the first time.
Yeah,
the board has heard about the dive block. So
me too. So we'll look into that.
The first time that Mr. Cunningham has heard about it too. So we will look into it.
Okay. Debbie, can I just say
sure.
One thing? I just want to, as we were doing announcements, I should have mentioned the Andromeda Fair that we had today. Plainview. Well, Beth Page hosted the Science and Social Science Research Fair today, run by Mr. Ray Tesser and his organization, and it was a phenomenal event, but we had over 500 students here, and we've been hosting it the past couple of years, but Plainview had the most number of students participate, and for the first time, we had sophomores participate.
Incredible.
A lot.
So we had 15 projects, but over 30 students.
That's
and on the sophomore level. And we've really, as I said, we've kind of identified different areas of the research program, which we needed to kind of firm up a little bit. We have a new teacher teaching the sophomores. So it's been a lot of fun, and a lot of kudos to the whole department, and both on the social science and science end of it. So good stuff.
Impressive stuff.
Seeing no other speakers, public participation is now closed. We thank you for your input and consider everything that is brought in front of the board during public participation. Can I get a motion on routine business? Jody, second. Ginger, any hold separation discussion? All those in favor? Thank you.
New business. Can I get a motion for the resolution for stipulation of settlement agreement and general release for employee identified and confidential Schedule A? Lauren, second. Rennell, all those in favor? Can I get an approval for the memorandum of agreement for the 2018-2019 school year? Ginger, second. Rennell, all those in favor? I'd like to thank the PCT on behalf of the board for coming back on August 30th and preserving our February break. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Can I get a motion on the adoption of Board of Education meetings for the 2018-19 school year? Ginger, second. Lauren, any discussion? All those in favor? Can I get a motion for approval of two exchange students for the 2018-2019 school year? Rennell, second. Jody, any discussion? All those in favor? Okay, now I'm going to do something that I don't think I've ever done as president in 2 years. Can I get a motion to adjourn the meeting? We are not going into exec session.
Yay.
Rennell, second. Lauren, all those in favor? Good night. Thank you very much.
Good meeting.
Okay.
So Seth can't come in and Macy's and can't come in good shape.
Okay, we'll just tell them that tomorrow night. Ginger, you'll tell them.
But would you suggest that
Susan be back?
But you just said yes, she will be.
Okay.